You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron. I'm your host. I want to thank you for showing up because today you're going to love this. I got a good friend of mine on and we're going to be talking about how you create a fun, predictable practice for the long term. And he's seen it. So, and he's done it. And my mom goes to him. He's my mom's dentist. So I trust me, I'm not sending anybody to, you know, or my mom to just anybody. I'm sending them to this guy or send her to this guy. So do me a favor. Like, again, if you're a young dentist and you're watching this, I want to do two things. Number one, I want to welcome you to showing up to a great community where we're all about learning. If you've been here before, you know what this is all about. I'm going to bring you a great key opinion leader like Glenn or our friends that have been on previously. And we're just going to bring you some of the best thoughts, best practices we see in dentistry to create a better practice and a better life. The second thing I want to encourage you to do, I don't care if you're listening on iTunes today or Stitcher or Google Play, do me a favor, just scroll down to that subscribe button, hit the subscribe button because I want you to show up every single week because we'll bring you another key opinion leader every single week with great secrets to help you create a great practice. Also, if you haven't joined us over in the private Facebook group, make sure you do that. It's called the Best Practices Powered by ACT Dental. I honestly don't even know how these things work, but we started it in the COVID conference and over 13,000 of you showed up and it's awesome to watch dentists help other dentists in a community that really cares. And then one last thing, we take show notes here. So you're going to see today, after the show is complete, I'm going to hand it over to our writers and they're going to do a fabulous job of just listing out everything that Glenn and I talk about. So Glenn's going to mention some things and I'll make this the easiest learning in the world. I just want you to swipe up to the show notes. You're going to see all of Glenn's contact information, everything. You can just click right on the links and it'll take you right to there. And you can also reach out to Glenn with an email. He's really good with that and he always wants to help so that you guys get the most out of this. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see in future shows. We're lining up right now and this is just so much fun. Now, Glenn, you and I have been friends for a long time. You were giving me some parenting advice. You always have a code word for your kids when they're at parties and stuff like that so that they know when to come in. But you're just a great man. You've raised a great family. You've been a teacher of great dentists for a long time. I want people always to know who they're listening to for a little bit. So can you just give us a little bit of your background and history? And then we're going to talk about the topic here in a second.
Yeah, Kirk. I grew up in a great family, had great kids, great brothers and sisters, and met my wife in high school. I was the big basketball star and she was the captain of the cheerleading. And so we met there, we dated through college and got married after college, right before dental school. Had my first daughter in dental school. I've got four daughters, had three after that. I got four daughters and eight grandkids and great son-in-laws, and they all live within 45 minutes of me. So I get to see them all the time. I'm babysitting my granddog right now. So I took took Annie for a walk right before this, so she would sleep while we're doing this. So, but I joined Pete Dawson in 1979. I had that opportunity. He brought me down to St. Pete, took his seminar one as a senior in dental school, loved what I was doing. He went to Emory also, so he kept an eye on me, checked with my professors, which I didn't know about, and invited me in for 1 year on a handshake. And after a year, we decided it was going to work well, and I stayed ever since. And I was the senior dentist in the practice of five dentists that after he and Pete Roach retired. And so now I've been doing this 41 years, and I've loved every minute of it. And, you know, I love the way I practice, and I love the way dentists talk to me about what they learned from Pete and from myself on how they practice. I talked with a classmate recently who's ready to retire, and he was saying that some of these younger dentists just don't understand that a nice, profitable, relaxed practice is possible. They wonder why he's not busier. And his answer is, because I don't want to be busier. Right. I'm making a great profit. And you're the master at helping dentists with that kind of stuff. So I think dentists need two things. They need someone to manage their staff and their practice like you. But I think one of the things that we haven't done so good at is helping dentists manage and practice their cases so that they're profitable and predictable. You know, honestly, Kirk, one of the things, I've been teaching with Pete for years, and I started my first seminar with him in 1980. And I lectured on this new material he'd never tried called light-cured composite. And so since then, I've been lecturing with him, and I've been doing the seminar threes. I do a lot of the hands-on classes, as you know, and for years. But one of the things that breaks my heart is when I have a dentist that maybe been practicing 5-6 years and isn't enjoying dentistry. They're like running themselves ragged. They're running left and right. They're trying to see 20 patients in a day, you know, instead of 5 or 6, and doing it in a systematic way that's not only predictable but profitable. So yeah. I hate when I hear that. And so I'm just trying to do everything I can to help dentists with that.
Yeah, and we're going to open that up today. And Pete Dawson was such an incredible human being. I mean, over 50,000 dentists had been exposed to some type of the Dawson Academy at some level. So as you can imagine, he changed a lot of people's lives. And I want you to expand on the why of that word. I learned that from you guys and from Pete himself. The predictability is one of the most important components, because managing forces, you can do great dentistry, but when you have days that don't go like they're planned, cases that don't go like they're planned, this great profession, and I'll ask you this question. Do you find that most dentists that aren't happy with dentistry, it just didn't match their expectations for what they were hoping? The cool thing about dentistry is you can create it however you want, but I find the people that have predictable days, predictable cases, predictable patterns, they go, no, it's pretty awesome. It lends itself to happier. Talk about the why of this.
Well, I heard you helped me tremendously years ago, because you're saying, you know, if you see patients 32 hours a week and you're doing predictable dentistry, that's a great life and that's very profitable. You know, you look at our work, and I don't know, Kirk, if it's that there doesn't live up to their expectations, but I'm not sure what they're getting in dental school as far as what to expect. But right. I think you're right in a way. I think they get out of dental school and maybe they're in a corporate type of format, or a dentist who runs a very high volume practice. And maybe that's in dental school, you're not doing high volume. And all of a sudden you get thrown into this and it's not what they thought. It's not what they expected. And that's why dentists come to the Dawson Academy and come to us. Right. A lot of times come get me involved with them, is that they know there's a better way. Now, if you're lucky and you have a really good mentor, that has told you, hey, go down, take these classes, get to know these people, then that's great. But I think they get out of dental school, they're not used to high volume, they get thrown in, and they just get discouraged. I had a dentist, a classmate of mine, call me after 10 years he was out. And he said, I got great patients. I'm in a nice little town in Georgia. I'm a member of the country club. My kids go to private school, and I hate it.
Wow.
I said, well, why do you hate it? He said, because my practice is running me. I got out of dental school, and all I knew was how to get busy. I didn't know how to get busy in the right way.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's a good word anymore, busy. Like, people say, yeah, I'm busy. I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. Are you productive and happy? Is what we should be asking, right?
That's the key. That's the key. I mean, I love my practice. I love going in there. Yeah. I know that the way I schedule, the way I sequence cases, I put the time I need in there. And my staff knows that that's what they schedule. So I don't go into a patient worried, like, I'm going to be running late. Now, once in a while you do, but on a routine basis,
right,
everything goes smooth. And that's what I love.
Yeah. And well, let's break this down. Because I'm so curious to learn. I learn something from you every single time. And if you're listening to this, you're going to see, you know, you've got some thought processes, and it's always fun. I always say this, your problems are really never your problems. It's how you think about your problems. That's the most important piece. And so going to the Dawson Academy or any great, it's not so much the training. It's the fact that you get to think a little bit better. You go back, you're a better dad, better mom, better human being, better clinician, better leader. So take us through the thought process of this. When you talk about critical steps to fun, predictable dentistry, first of all, what does that mean and how does it work?
Well, I tell you, totally agree with you. We all run into same problems in dentistry. It's how we solve them. It's the thought process in solving them. And I've been fortunate to learn from Pete Dawson, Pete Roach, a number of dentists, you got all the people like you that I've listened to be able to take a problem apart and solve it. So after all those years, I feel like I have a lot to offer dentists in helping them with that. Right. So they don't have to go through a lot of what us other dentists go through. So when I was thinking of the critical steps, I help dentists from a technical standpoint. That's what I help them with. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking to get dentists to think of a case, think of a restorative case, and let's think of it backwards than what you typically see presented.
Right.
Okay. So where do we want the end to be? We want the end to be that patient smiling, saying it's great and it feels good. My bite feels good. My speech loves everything about what you did. And for that reason, loves you. That's the ending I want.
Right.
And that's what makes us feel great. Yeah, we get profit. We have to have a profit, but that is what we work for.
Right.
Now, so if that's the,
yeah. And pause right there. Cause that's, I want you guys to savor that moment. Like, cause as a dentist, you're going to experience all ends of the spectrum. You're going to have a big case come back. It doesn't fit. Margins are off. Or how about this one? I had a dentist in Knoxville say this. I did one of the largest cases of my life. I seated it and you could see the patient didn't love it. And you're like, oh my gosh, please smile. And she didn't love it. And they had to redo it again. Or the other side of it, where you seat the case, you might've already been compensated for it. And the most important part happens where she says, Dr. Glenn, you've changed my life. Like, this isn't about my teeth. I feel like a better person. I feel like a brand new person. That's the outcome we're shooting for. And you just don't get there by accident. You know?
Yeah. It's not by accident at all.
Right.
And you do change their lives, and then they love you.
Right.
And that's where our endorphins kick up, is when they love us, you know? So, that's where I'm going. So I was thinking to take a case backwards or forward. So that's the result we want. Okay.
Right.
what's the step before that? The step for that is we got to put these crowns in the mouth.
Right.
So right. We have to cement them in.
Right.
And so we have to do a very careful job of cementing them. And sometimes there's a special sequence that I follow. I help dentists with. If they're going to do a whole mouth, there's a sequence to do that. I had two this week that a whole mouth, and to sequence that in a specific way is so important.
Right.
So now we got to place them in. Well, how do we know it's going to work? Okay. Because what's the step before placing them in?
Yeah.
The step before placing them in is we got to check to make sure the lab work's done right.
Right. Now you're really messing with my brain. I love where you're going, but it's messing with my brain because dentists don't think like this. So you're like, okay, patient came in. I got to sell them on the dentistry. I got to do a diagnosis. Got to get all together. And then I'm not even thinking about how much time the cementing, like the lab yet. And you know how this works, Glenn. You get the case back and you've allotted like 3 hours or 2 hours to seat it or whatever. Well, then 3 more patients have been put into the schedule, all that stuff. Yeah. So you're really talking about like, you got to think about the time allotment, the steps, the checklist, and work upstream instead of downstream to make sure this works better.
Well, I'm trying to get them now. Next one we do, Kirk, I'll take a case through the normal way.
Okay.
But I want them to think about, actually what I want them to think about, how important the first steps are.
Right.
Because every step is important. You know, what's the most important step in making a crown? Is it the impression? Is it the prep? Which is the most important step? And it's the one you're on.
Right.
Every step is important. And that's what I'm thinking. So if you're doing a lot of restorative work, a whole mouth, okay, you want that beautiful, fun result where they love you, they love their dentistry, they refer patients. That's how you build your practice. Well, to get that, you got to place them carefully. To get that, you got to check it, make sure the lab's done well. Well, how does the lab know what to do?
Right.
So before the lab can make it, you got to send the lab everything they know they need. And what do they need on a case like that? They need to have it tested out in the mouth so you know it's going to work. And that's the provisional restorations. That's our composite resin. That's our preps with provisionals. We test that in the mouth. And now we're testing phonetics, function, and aesthetics all ahead of time. Once we do that, the hard work's done.
Right.
Right. The rest of it is just getting the lab to copy that.
Right. And I worked in a lab at one time, and I don't think I've ever heard so much swearing in my life because, you know, things come in and you'd hear the tech go, I got to make teeth with this. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't know if this is a male or female patient. Like, what is the deal? And you know how it is, garbage in, garbage out, and everybody's upset. But you're exactly right. And I would also say this, speak to this, Glenn. The more you know about dentistry, the more dangerous you are to yourself because the word shade, shape, translucent, those things matter to you. So you're working in, I think, smaller millimeters than most dentists when you know too much. Like you want it, it's a reflection of who you are. Like this is a spiritual thing for you when you do this because you're not just trying to get crowns to fit type of a thing.
No, every case takes out gut lining. I mean, you put your body and soul in every case. My patients know I'm sometimes pickier than they are. You know, they like it and I don't. Mm-hmm. And so that's so important. And to, you know, you said something a minute ago about that, and I'm trying to think what it was. But it all has to fit.
Right.
Okay. And to understand, to get good provisionals in, what's the step before that? Well, the step before that is working it out on a set of study casts and knowing, hey, this is going to be close. But then you take the study casts and what you've worked out on that, you make matrices now. Those help you prepare the teeth better, more predictably. They help you make the provisionals so that you're not doing a lot of adjusting in the provisionals. You're just finessing it.
Right.
And you're checking the speech and you're checking the lip closure, and your patients are seeing all this.
Right.
And they're like, whoa, this is amazing what you're doing. And then the step before even the study models, you've got to gather the information.
Right. Now, I have so many questions because you're hitting so many great spots here. Which one's the number one mistake dentists make of all the steps, or is there a fundamental piece of this thought process where you see the biggest mistakes?
I think the number one mistake they make is not spending the time to diagnose and treat a plan.
Tell us why.
Well, because you can, Pete Dawson would say the most important appointment we spend with the patient is the exam. Right. And then the most important time we spend is our working on the models to determine what's wrong and what we're going to do.
Right.
That's why I utilize checklists for that, so that any dentist can take a case through these checklists and come out at the end saying, okay, this is the ideal. This is what I'd want to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think the biggest problem is dentists think spending time treatment planning is lost revenue. And it's not.
No, it's not.
Because you will find more work to do, and you will put it in you'll do longer appointments. So you're going to be more profitable. And then I think the one thing that dentists have trouble with, not the biggest problem, but I think the main thing I've seen they have trouble with, is once they get a lot of this in order, and I've taught them how to gather the information and how to put it together and how to go through the checklist, and they figure out what they want to do, I think the one thing they wrestle with is how to sequence a case predictably and profitably. Not because it's hard, it's just because no one's ever shown them.
Right. Because you can't figure this out. And don't even try. People have done this for such a long time. I want to go back to a couple things, like the time invested up front. I've heard this from so many people through the DOS. The more you do up front, the less you have to do later, spend the time. Also, too, we have this challenge in coaching dentists. They don't have a correct diagnosis on time at all. Most of them say, oh, that takes me an hour, or I'll do that in 10 minutes. And they're like, all the assistants are like, this person has no idea what they're talking about. And they're like, that takes them at least an hour and a half type of thing. So you got to understand that. Also, too, I just finished a call a little while ago and people are like, what's the most important thing in running a business? I said, it's proper diagnosis, a great treatment plan, and then the execution of the plan. And it's no different than a case. Like, you probably see it too, where people don't even diagnose things. They miss the oral cancer. They don't know the patient has airway challenges. They can't see the worn dentition type of a thing. And now they're working on treatment that's not going to be long-term. So I think, without making dentists feel overwhelmed in this, you get all these steps right, it leads itself to more predictable dentistry. Now you got to give yourself a little grace. Okay, so I'm kind of asking you, 41 years of doing this, you do have to learn how to forgive yourself a little bit, because Glenn, you didn't come out like being able to do this, right?
No, not at all. It took me, I was doing large cases. It took me 2 or 3 years with Pete Dawson there. And so I pretty well tell Dennis, and I think this is true for any profession, Kirk, you can agree or disagree, that I don't think you know what you're doing for 10 years.
I still don't know what I'm doing.
Well, yeah, we do. We're still learning.
Right.
But, but I don't think it's overwhelming at all, because I think what dentists learn is like what I learned in dental school. Tooth breaks, do a crown.
Right.
Well, my philosophy is, patient comes in with an emergency like I had this week, broken tooth. What's the emergency? See, we don't have emergencies in dentistry. We don't have carotid spouting blood. We have urgent care.
Right.
And so urgent care, what's the problem? Is that rough to your tongue? Yeah, it's rough. Okay. Let me smooth it. How's that feel? Oh, much better. I'm finished my emergency appointment. I'm not going to prep that tooth that day. I'm going to get that patient back. I might do some flowable composite to protect the, you know, the nerve, keep it sensitivity, but then I'm done. I want to get that patient back to see, why did it break? What's going on? Oh, that tooth broke. Now you get them back and you spend some time in what Pete Dawson and a lot of people say is the most important appointment you ever spend. That's the new patient exam. And I think too many dentists do their, see their new patients for 10 minutes out of hygiene.
Right. Now pause right there, because I completely agree with you, but let me be devil's advocate. Glenn, my patients don't want I have a hard time getting patients to do comprehensive exams. Have you ever heard that one? Like, I have a different. Okay. So what are your thoughts on that?
Okay. Here's my thoughts. If I don't care who you are, if I say, you know, Mrs. Jones, you broke that tooth. I can see you have a crown and a root canal over here. What happened there? You broke that one a few years ago. Okay. You know what? I think the most conservative, best thing I could do for you right now is to get you back and spend some time trying to figure out what you're doing to your teeth, because I know you want to save your teeth and I want to help you. What are they going to argue with?
Right.
Are they going to say, no, I don't want the most conservative. I don't want the best. Okay. And ultimately they'll say, well, they'll ask me how much it costs. Well, I'll tell them how much it's going to cost. But that's not, you don't make that a barrier.
Right. Right.
So Pete Dawson said the most important appointment is that new patient exam. And he told me one day, it would be great if we didn't have to charge anything for the exam and treatment plan.
Right.
They said, but he said that I think you have someone coming in your door.
Oh, it's really cool. It's a buddy of mine.
Okay. But he said also we have to charge some because but it's a loss leader. So we might spend, once I train dentists, most of them will be in that new patient exam, maybe 30 minutes. But now their staff is taken over for another 30 minutes gathering information because they're well-trained staff. And then you might spend another 30, 45 minutes working on the case if it's a big case. But this is a big case. This is a profitable case. And so you have an hour in it, let's say of your time, maybe hour and a half. You're not going to make, it's a lost leader. You're going to not make all that back.
Right.
But the amount you, I mean, I spent my whole career with this. I want to see 12 to 15 new patients a month. That's all I want. And when you get those patients, so I have patients, like you say, that come in, they say, oh, I have no problems. All I need is a cleaning, blah, 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 blah. And that's great. And we'll say, well, we'll take care of that. But Dr. DuPont really wants to get to know your mouth as quick as possible.
Right.
Would it be okay with you if we set up a time where he can meet with you and look at your mouth, and then we'll do the cleaning right after? And then I get to do my exam.
Yeah.
And a complete exam doesn't take that long.
Right. And see, that's why you got to surround yourself with people that have been doing this a long time. Like, Glenn, you're a great thinker. And I agree with what you said earlier. I mean, the best dentistry is to do the least amount of dentistry long term. Let's prevent this from happening, because I don't want to prep every tooth over the time of a lifetime. I want you to keep these teeth. I want you to be healthy. And so it requires that we do, you know, all change processes. Everything starts with telling the truth first. It gives us a good baseline. And think about this. Like, this isn't too far from... It's actually the truth. If you were going to build a house, would you pick an architect who goes, no, I do this all the time. We don't need plans. We're just going to start excavating. You'd be like, you're crazy. I'm getting somebody else. I want to see the blueprint. I got to know where the bathroom's going to be. Like, you would never start construction without a well thought plan, would you?
Not at all.
That's a builder that's going broke if they don't have a treatment plan.
You're not going to go build the Skyway Bridge just... let's go build a bridge this weekend.
Right.
You're going to plan and plan and plan. And you know, dentistry is a tough profession in a way, but it's also, we're not dealing with life and death issues.
Right.
And so you can be very relaxed about it. The one thing I see a lot, Kirk, and I'll tell you right now, is dentists that put a lot of large composite resins in second molars, And then they're not recognizing 8, 10, 12 years later how that tooth is wearing, how that composite's wearing, and how that upper lingual cusp is just following it right down until the tooth cracks. Mm. So I had a patient that I saw this week, a new patient with one tooth cracked to the point we can't save it, and another one looks like it's going to go. And so some of these things also, so what you want to put in those teeth is something that's going to last. Well, yeah, that's a little more expensive, but it's going to last, right, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And that's what my goal is.
Right. Absolutely. And it's key. I mean, a lot of this, and again, it goes back to thinking really well long-term as far as predictability and fun. Now talk about this. I am of the opinion the fun happens after we win. Do you know what I mean? Like some people want to go in and go, no, I want to do fun first. No, let's create a predictable, profitable practice. And as a result, it's fun. I have the same battle with my kids. They're like, I want to have fun. Nope, you're going to be good kids first. And we're going to have rules. And as a result, we're going to have fun. Because people often say to me, you know, dentistry is not that much fun. It becomes fun. And I'm asking this question. When your days work like they should, cases fit like they should, patients respond like you hope, and that's what you're pointing to, right?
That's what I'm pointing to. And, you know, we teach our kids delayed gratification, right? All the time. We've got to. Right. And, but honestly, you know, now, you know, I started as a lab technician in Pete yes. Dawson's lab. That was my first exposure.
That's good training.
I loved lab work. And so honestly, I have so much fun treatment planning a case. That's why I love helping dentists with this.
Right.
I have so much fun treatment planning a case and figuring that out, because the better you do that step, the rest of it just flows. You put those provisionals in and you're doing a little bit of adjustment here and there. You're checking the speech, maybe tucking it in for the lip. You're really refining these things. You're not creating them. And then after that, you just have to make sure you have a good lab that can reproduce that with the instructions you give them. So yeah, it's you know, if I look at this session of critical steps and I took it backwards to forwards, but now you know the critical step is that first appointment and
right.
gathering the information.
And I just thought of this, like next time we're going to go through some slides in a particular case, but Glenn, it might be fun to take a case and work backwards and create a spreadsheet of how many hours that really would take to do this right. Like, and then compare it to what really happened and see the discrepancies. Do you know what I mean? Because when you yeah. work up a case, a lot of times people work up fees. They're working up fees and maybe steps, but they don't really associate. There's time associated with all of this. You know, you got to do the indirect chair time, which is really looking at it while it's mounted. How is it going to fit? All this and communicating with the lab. And now we've got the digital component, which is great, but it still requires time. It's powerful when you put all of these pieces together. And I just feel like you can never stop learning on treatment planning. Can you talk about that? I have watched some of the greatest minds ever. You can never say as a dentist, oh, I got treatment planning figured out. I see the best ones in the prime of their careers, in their 50s and 60s, still working on how to better think about treatment planning. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I get cases sent to me that I really could not know. I wouldn't know what to do with them until I take them in a step-by-step process to solve it. And then you start seeing how it just starts to fit in. It's so nice. So treatment planning is done when you have your, on a big case, when you have your study models, your photos, your probings, your x-rays, and it's all right there. Now, how do you put that all into your head? And that's why we have the checklists. To go through a 2D checklist, then a 3D, and then you start seeing it fit in.
Talk about the importance of that. Because I love checklists, but you'd be shocked, or maybe you wouldn't be shocked if you went on a field trip with me and saw how many people that don't have checklists for anything. How important was a checklist for predictable dentistry for you for 40 years?
Oh, it's unbelievably important. I mean, you read the checklist manifesto by Atul Gawande.
Yes.
Great book. I gave that to my kids. I gave it to my staff. We make checklists at a an appointment, so we don't skip something. But to take those checklists and to sit down and really have the time, that's fun to me, to take the time on a case. I just had a case this week sent to me by a dentist who just restored all this patient's, all the teeth, and he can't figure out why they keep falling out and breaking and all. And the poor guy is a great, I mean, the poor guy had no hesitation to send it to me to figure it out, which is nice. But he said, when I talked to him, he said, you know, this was probably the most difficult case I've ever done. This blah, blah, you know, and I'm thinking that's the kind that you need to go in step-by-step process if you're going to have it figure, if you're going to be predictable.
Right. So, and then also I want to ask you about this. I remember I was at the AACD conference. I got a call from one of my young dentists and his confidence was rattled. Very large case. And it all fell apart. I'm like, you're going to be okay. He's like, you don't understand how this rattles your confidence. You know, I put so much energy in and this thing just fell apart. I'm like, you're going to be okay. He goes, Kirk, you don't understand. Can you talk about how, you know, the lack of predictability can shake you as a dentist, you know?
Yeah. And even then, even when you do something totally predictable, totally right, it can still sometimes have issues,
right?
Because we're dealing with human bodies, but we you know, honestly, we want to keep that to a minimum. So we don't want that to be the norm. That should be once in a blue moon. But boy, when something doesn't work out, it's the opposite of that patient loving you,
right?
And that gets into your head because now you feel like you're a failure. You know, the patient thinks you're a failure. I mean, that's really not a good place to be. And that's honestly why dentists tend to come to us to learn.
Right.
It had that feeling, and that's not a good feeling.
Right. And you're taking away the two things in the title of the podcast, which is you're taking away all the fun and you're taking away all the predictability. And that's when, you know, it's okay to make a mistake, but it's not okay to keep making the mistakes. So Glenn, I want to ask you this question. I might be a young restorative dentist listening and saying, I'm totally understanding that, but Glenn, I don't even know where to start. I'm a little bit overwhelmed. I know that you've embarked on a new chapter in your career. You are passionate about helping. Like, could you help me think through these cases? You know, how does your process work? How would you even help me? I got a busy practice. Maybe I'm not doing comprehensive dentistry. Like, how would you help me?
Well, you know, for years teaching at the Pankin Institute and the Dawson, the most difficult case, the most difficult dentist to help is the one that's super busy. Mm. So we've developed ways to help that. And so what I could help anyone in that situation, because what I would do initially is I'd have an initial phone call with them and I'd try to get to what's really the issues. Then even with all this COVID stuff, hopefully we'll start opening them up, but I would then travel and visit that office. I think that's a critical step to walk into the office and spend a day with that dentist, see what he's doing, see what kind of systems he has from a technical standpoint. And then at that point, I would give him some things to do. And then at that point, I would do eight Zoom calls over a period of a year, totally directed and dialing in at what he needed to work on, what he needed to change. Maybe he's a good treatment planner, but the sequencing is he's losing it.
Right.
Maybe he can treatment plan really well, but he's losing it in the consultation. You know, maybe he's just not getting his staff to help gather it. So he's spending too much time and now he doesn't want to do it. I mean, there's all kinds of things that I see when I go into an office. So, But that's the process is they would email me. I would give them a call. We'd set up a call. I'd sort of interview them on the phone, see where we want to go, and then go ahead and visit them for a day and then have these follow-ups where they would send me some treatment plans and we'd look through them and we just And after a year, I don't really need to help them.
Right.
I'm done. So it's not something that goes on and on. Once I show you this and you do it, you're sort of done. Yeah. And then after that, if they need help periodically, I'm there. But basically, I think in a year and with that kind of a process, you could get a dentist that really wants to learn, really wants to change, really doing very fun, predictable dentistry.
Yeah, I say we do it. So like, and I'll just say this, Glenn's a great guy, great human being, just even to talk to you. You know, I always get a good word, a good thought process, something to improve my life. So for the benefit of people listening to iTunes or an audio podcast, Glenn, how do I get a hold of you if I want to reach out to you?
It's pretty simple. Just drop me an email. It's drglennnduppont@gmail.com and put in the subject thing. Like your podcast or consulting, put in that subject line, and then make sure I have a phone number, and then I'll email you back, and we'll work out a time that we can talk.
Awesome.
But it's that simple. So it's drglenndupont@gmail.com.
Awesome. I encourage you just to do it. You'll love Glenn, great human being. I'll also put your email in the show notes, so you can just swipe up the show notes and check it out. So any last thoughts, Glenn, as you give us a word of wisdom, if I'm a young dentist listening to, or even a mature dentist, as we close this out?
Well, if you're a young dentist, I would say don't overlook the problems you're seeing. So too many dentists just overlook everything and spend their whole career just, you know, solving emergencies left and right.
Right.
But don't look at what you look at what you're doing. Look how people are coming back. You know, if they're having wear, if their teeth are wearing, as we talked about, if you know, if you're putting stuff in that's not working, then look to solve it. Look, keep looking, keep learning. I guess that's the key, is, you know, is just continue to learn, but try to pick the right people to learn from. I think that's important. I know that was important even in my basketball career. I know it's really important now in my golfing, because I need a lot of help there. But try to pick the right people to learn from.
Awesome.
And if you're getting a little bit disillusioned with dentistry, know that dentistry is an amazing profession. Mm-hmm. And reach out to people like you, Kirk, and other people. You and me and others that reach out, because there's help out there for you. And we can help you with that. We've helped hundreds of dentists coming through the Dawson Academy. So
yeah,
probably thousands, not hundreds, thousands.
Thousands, at least thousands. Yeah. And the other thing to remember is you'll never live long enough to make all the mistakes we've made. So like, don't try. It's not, you know, it's all good. It's a great profession. So Glenn, as always, buddy, I always appreciate having you on here. I know we're going to do more and more work together. And then the next time we're actually going to go through some specific slides and a couple of details. That's going to be fun. So make sure you check that out. So stick around, buddy, while I say goodbye to everybody else. And I want to thank you guys for listening, tuning in to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, like I did, do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things you want to see, either with Glenn or other people. We'll line them up for you. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.